This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
You're listening to KCBS In Depth.
Really, in order to find quality care, you often have to be on a wait list that's months long.
The people, places, and issues the Bay Area is talking about.
The aggressive advocates who were looking to overrule Roe for so long, they really had no idea of the consequences they might be opening up.
In this case, there very well may be charges that are appropriate. For example, trying to obstruct an official proceeding of Congress, right? That is unlawful.
This is KCBS In Depth.
Everyone watches women's sports. Those are the words on a shirt that you might have seen celebrities wearing when courtside at a WNBA game, or while cheering during a goal made at an NWSL match. And it does seem to be true that everyone has their eyes on women's sports. The hope, of course, is that this will help to grow the leagues, the interest, the investment, so that the future of women's sports will never be in doubt. And there are people right here in the Bay Area that are taking that declaration to heart. Welcome to KCBS In Depth, broadcasting throughout the Bay Area and streaming on the Odyssey app. I'm Mary Hughes. The Bay Area Women's Sports Initiative has been doing the good work of supporting young women in the Bay Area sports world for years, by engaging with the community, with the coaches and the teachers, and by encouraging girls to take up space on the field or the court. To talk more on what is affectionately called bossy, I'm joined by Dana Weintraub, co-CEO of the Bay Area Women's Sports Initiative, and Brisa Rojas, a bossy alum and board member. Brisa, Dana, thank you both so much for being a part of this in-depth conversation.
Thank you so much, Mary. We're thrilled to be here.
I'd like to get a little history about this organization. Dana, can you kind of take me through its formation? Why did it even come about?
Yeah. Well, I love that question, Mary, but I find it amazing that the day we are recording this session is one day after a really exciting anniversary of the 99 Women's World Cup game, where the U.S. won in front of over 90,000 fans at the Rose Bowl. And one of our founders, Brandi Chastain, scored a very well-known winning penalty kick. And that kick and that game really kicked off a huge momentum for girls and women's soccer in the U.S., but also just for girls' engagement in sport generally. And that momentum has come full circle today. So BOSSY, Bay Area Women's Sports Initiative, came out of that first women's professional soccer league, which came from the momentum of that 99 World Cup game. So in 2000, a league was formed to allow women to have a platform to finally play women's professional soccer in the U.S. And that league lasted for 3 years until 2003, where the league did not have the financial investment at the time to sustain itself. But the league also was the women that were involved in women's soccer were also doing such incredible work in partnership with community. So Marlene Bjarnsrud, who was at the time general manager of the San Jose Cyber Rays in the league, Brandi Chastain and Julie Foudy, and many other incredible women and allies were lamenting not just that there was no longer a platform to play women's professional soccer, but also women were just doing such incredible work in community. And they thought, women athletes, and they thought, well, that doesn't have to end. Let's create an initiative in the Bay Area with women. We're around sports. And so we will be called the Bay Area Women's Sports Initiative. Someone said, wait, that acronym is going to be bossy. You'll have to come up with a different name. And Brandi Chastain, who everyone can imagine with that great penalty kick celebration, said, we're bossy. And Bossy was then founded in May of 2005. And so now we are coming on, next year will be our 20th anniversary. And to see now a thriving National Women's Soccer League throughout the U.S. with a team in the Bay Area, Bay FC, founded by Brandi, Allie Wagner, Leslie Osborne, and Danielle Slayton, who is on the Bossy board, is really just amazing. And so that is our origin story. We started by going into community, working with girls who otherwise wouldn't have access to sport. The idea was, you know, post-1972, Title IX, lots of opportunity has been created for girls to play sport. And yet in our country, there's still a huge gap between girls and boys for those opportunities to play sport. And we know girls want to play. And we know girls from under-resourced neighborhoods often are the ones that are left on the sidelines from sports. So that's what Bossy's doing. We're working in partnership with community to make sure that all girls have the opportunity for those transformational life lessons that happen onto the field and translate into our lives.
Your comment just about this initiative being formed after such a wave kind of going up of interest, of energy. When I went to cover one of the opening days of Bay FC, and I talked to some people waiting in line just to buy merch, like it wasn't even time to get tickets at this point. They were just buying merch. And this one woman was like, we've been waiting for this. We've been waiting for this. And I feel like that kind of ties into what Bossy is all about. But you guys are taking it to a community level. Like, it's not just a high-end thought. It's also there on the ground as well. And I have to think that someone who has been, who's an alum of Bossy, probably knows that better than anybody. So Risa, what brought you to the Bay Area Women's Sport Initiative? You know, is this, have sports always been a part of your life?
Yeah. So when I first came into Bossy, I was in Dorsey Elementary School here in East San Jose. And so, you know, very local. You know, I grew up as in a socioeconomically disadvantaged community, and I still live there. I'm still in the area. But, you know, growing up as a child of immigrant parents, you know, my mom always knew that in order to get ahead in life, to take any opportunity that came our way. And so she saw that Bossy was coming to Dorsa and how they were going to have, you know, sports for girls. And so she, you know, signed me up. And, you know, I saw like how much I loved like Bossy, like as it is as a kid, like, you know, when I was going through the program, you know, I was meeting all these girls. It was just kind of like a cohort of like just all these other girls that are in my elementary school. And like, it was such a beautiful experience because, you know, there's this purple t-shirt that they gave all of us, and it made me feel like I'm a part of something big. And like, I feel like sisterhood at a young age is such a beautiful experience that every girl, a little girl, should have, because, you know, that's something that you carry on to your life, and, you know, you kind of seek throughout your life. When I was a younger girl, I was definitely marching to the beat of my own drum. I was definitely like a tomboy. I wanted to beat all the other boys, especially growing up with other brothers. And Bossy showed me that I could do exactly that and join sports. You know, they gave me the courage and like the sense of comfort, like trying out these different sports that and like different activities without the sense of like pressure or like kind of competitiveness. And so I got to play all of them. And even then, when the boys wouldn't let us play with them during recess, I still had an outlet with my with Bossy. But even then, I feel like sometimes us and the girls would go and show them how it's done sometimes. And you know, even now I love sports. I would love to, you know, play recreationally, but you know, just kind of with just like with work and everything, I still try to keep up with, you know, when Bay FC came, I went to the first game. I thought it was amazing because I got to see all these girls talk, like they were just like ecstatic just to be there for their first Bay FC game. And it's just incredible. So, you know, I am so happy to be like following along with that journey as well, just like as a young adult. And I can't wait to be telling my kids, I was there at one of their games during their inaugural season. Isn't that crazy?
Well, and it sounds like so much of what Bossy gave to you, you know, you're already thinking of how you can take that forward, not just in your own life, but, you know, kids down the line, but you're also involved with Bossy still. You are a board member as well. What does that entail for you?
Yeah, I mean, being a Bossy board member, it feels so full circle, you know, just being able to be able to kind of pay it forward. And you know, I know what these girls are experiencing because I lived through it. And, you know, I know the struggles that their parents are going through. You know, I remember going to one of the college basketball games, I think it was Santa Clara University, and I was just sitting down talking to one of the parents, and she was just telling me about, you know, her life and her husband and how they came to America and how, you know, they just love that Bossy has just been an outlet for their daughter and how shy she was and how she's really come out of her shell and she's being more active. And I was like, kind of like almost tearing up. I just couldn't do anything because I was like, because I just like see myself in them. Like I see like those were my parents and they were the ones putting me into the program and they saw how much it benefited me. So I'm so happy to be like, both an alum and a board member, because, you know, it really is paying it forward. And, you know, now that I can, you know, support in any way, making sure that there's more funding and having other people support. And, you know, not only that, but also showing them that even though like Bossy changed my future and that with their support, they can change other girls' futures too.
A big part of why this initiative is here and why it keeps being able to serve the community is the fact that it is there recognizing, and I think Dana, you mentioned this earlier, this gap that exists when we are speaking about girls, young women, the world of athletics, and where support is coming from and where it isn't. And what are some of the challenges that you both have seen when not only does it come to getting involved in sports and having girls feel that that's something they can do, that there's a space for them, but also keeping them involved?
Yeah, definitely. So, you know, just kind of going back to what I was saying, yeah, there is that, you know, pressure of, you know, being in these male dominated sports, like you constantly feel like it's a man's world. And, you know, if girls don't have the support behind them to continue to push through those glass ceilings, then, you know, that's one challenge in itself. And it's even harder for girls who are, you know, economically disadvantaged, like I was, to be in those sports. And so, you know, even I was lucky to like have, you know, a high school that could afford to provide uniforms, but, you know, not a lot of schools have those same opportunities. You know, some parents struggle to even afford, you know, rent. So let alone like being able to afford their kids, like uniforms, their gear, you know, everything that's required for even just like many of the sports out there, you know, require a lot of those things. And, you know, just like looking at the statistics, it's not surprising that I kind of went through the same experience that a lot of girls were going through, you know, and there's like one statistic that stands out to me that, you know, by the age of 14, girls are leaving sports at twice the rate as boys, you know, due to a variety of factors like high costs, transportation, safety concerns, lacking support, inequities, and just like a lot of constant demands. And, you know, those are very real things in life. And in women's life especially, and it shouldn't be that hard to get into sports.
We know as Bossy, we don't have the answers for what the solutions are and what the barriers are. So both when we were building out middle school and we were building out high school, but at both those junctures in time, we worked with a group called Evaluation Studios that does youth participatory research and actually hired young women at Overfelt High School to do the research with us, looking at what the barriers are for participation in sports. And now as we built out, we are in our third year, going into our fourth year of middle school programming. And this fall, we're going to start our first year at Overfelt High School. We've been working with the young woman from that high school to look at what our programming is going to look like and how we're going to address those barriers. And one of the things that came up was this up and out culture of sport. Like, either you move up and you're more competitive and you continue to participate in sports, but that a lot of times girls, young women may love sports, but they don't want to be on that competitive team. So both at the middle school and eventually at the high school level, what we're looking to do is create opportunities to play, even if you don't want to play on that competitive team. And the other, what they brought to us, and these are things that we could only learn from the girls and the young women in the community, is that they don't want to practice every day after school. They have a lot of competing demands, but that doesn't mean that they don't want to play. But on the, let's just take a basketball team, you're expected to be there Monday through Friday. Well, they want to do something else Tuesday and Thursday. So offering just other opportunities to play and become engaged in sports. But at middle school, during recess, oftentimes we see boys going and shooting hoops or playing soccer. And we're trying to change that culture at middle school as well. So at Renaissance Academy at Fisher, where we are, the girls are out there on their mini soccer pitch playing soccer at recess. And we've heard from other bossy elementary school sites, girls taking over the basketball court during recess. And we don't necessarily have to take over, but we at least have to have our space.
In Depth will return after a moment.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's join, MIDI.com.
You bringing up Bossy's involvement on the middle school level and on the high school level, I think that's a good space to touch on what Bossy does. What's that involvement look like? What is that? What all do you do?
Thank you. Thank you for asking. So it started off, as I mentioned, in elementary school in 2005. And that's, we were focused on elementary, doing what we do really well, engaging elementary school girls in sports and leadership opportunities. And that's not sport specific. Coming from a strong soccer founding with our three founders having been in the soccer world, people often have associated Bossy through the years with soccer, but we were never about soccer. We were always about opportunities to play. And our elementary school program is about everybody, inclusivity, belonging on playgrounds. And so that is really what it was about. Second, and it still is till today, second through fifth graders together, having fun through physical activity and sport and integrating mindfulness and leadership onto the playground. So at our elementary school level, we have, just to briefly share what it looks like, is after school once a week, 8 sessions in the fall, 8 sessions in the spring. We start off by having an assembly for all girls. Every single second through fifth grade girl sees our coaches at an assembly. Here's what Bossy's all about. All they have to do is go home, get a permission slip signed, and come back in, and they are a part of Bossy. And so, and they'll get that purple t-shirt that Brisa mentioned on the first day. And then we have opening locker room, where we transition from the school day to the bossy magic. And there's words of the week where they explore the meaning of responsibility, cooperation, teamwork, leadership. What do those words mean? How do I bring them to my whole self on the playground, in school, at home? And then in 2019, we were doing a deep dive. We were doing what we were doing really well for 14 years, but where were we going to go next? What was the right decision? And with partnering with community, our board, our staff, we took a deep look at who we were and who we wanted to be. And how do we know that we're having the impact we want? And the stat of girls separating from sports in middle school. So we decided we wanted to go into middle school and high school and stay with our participants longer, make sure they're still being engaged in sport, make sure those outcomes we believe, and we've actually now done a long-term impact study, reaching back to many of our alumni and seeing all the great things that our alumni are doing and the great outcomes that we've had. With that, we actually worked with youth in the community to understand those barriers, what that middle school programming should look like. And now we're just embarking on high school, again, working with community, getting input from a lot of community members and building it from within with Overfelt youth, athletic directors, administrators to build what that high school program will look like.
It feels as if we've reached a new stratosphere here when it comes to the focus, the attention, the want of seeing women in sport. How big is this moment right now? And does it feel like this is a real turning point? Because I think there's been times where we thought we were at a turning point, and then it kind of goes away again. Does this feel different?
It does feel very different to me. This moment is extremely exciting. I think about the organization Together with the Everyone's Watching, or Everyone Watches Women's Sports. It's true. Everyone's watching women's sports. We're seeing records being broken across different sports by women that are playing. And so that momentum feels very different. In the Bay Area, just as that's where we are, we have Bay FC, we have Oakland Soul, we have soon to be the Valkyries playing at Chase. So absolutely, if they can see her, they can be her. And we still have to recognize with all this momentum, there are still many girls that aren't getting to play. And so at the same time, recognize that organizations like Bossy, working in community, are still so important to give everybody those opportunities. And this is always the if you can see her, you can be her has always been what Bossy has been about. We say girls who play become women who lead. We know that girls who play become women who lead. We have Risa right here as one example. And so we know how important it is to have those opportunities to play. And I think back to Brandy, just circling back to that moment that the world watched of her scoring that penalty kick. And then I think about the moments when Brandy still comes out to our bossy playgrounds and our bossy girls don't look at Brandy and think that she's a celebrity athlete. They look at Brandy and they feel their energy and they know that Brandy cares about them. And that's really what we're doing on our bossy playgrounds, seeing those role models on the playground and thinking I can be her, and seeing as you become her, they can be me. It's very, very powerful.
Well, and I think recognizing the moment we're at right now, as amazing as it is, but also recognizing that there's still work to be done, that there's still spaces that need to be addressed. What is the future of Bossy then? So if we're riding kind of a high right now, what needs to be done to take it even further? What needs to be done, and how will Bossy have a role in that?
Yeah, I think it is continuing to recognize that we're all part of the same community and everyone joining in together to support programs like Bossy, to get out there and watch women's sports, to turn those TVs on that are in restaurants or bars and turn them on to women's sports. All of us together can help continue this incredible momentum that's happening. And for Bossy, we are right now, as I said, in a really exciting momentum for ourselves, where we're just starting on what we embarked, and we're finishing what we embarked on, or continuing on our journey to build out what we call a leadership accelerator for girls through sports, starting in second grade and going through their journey onward. And when we think about Bossy, we think about what that means, both on the individual and your role in community, to have confidence in whatever, wherever your journey is going to take you. And I hope all of our listeners have that outlet to feel it as well. And get out and play.
I want to wrap up this conversation with something, with a question for you, Brisa. What's your advice as someone who has, you've been a part of Bossy, you're now on the board, but you are someone who has played sports. You are someone who's overcome your own challenges and jumped your own hurdles. What's your advice to younger girls about what their future can look like if they're like, they see someone playing soccer, whether it's someone in their family or someone at school or someone playing basketball or rugby, whatever. What's your advice to them to give them the fortitude to say, I can do this?
Yeah, I'm getting a little emotional, you asking that question, just because, a lot of the challenges that I faced when I was younger, I feel like still a lot of young girls are facing today. And the advice that I would give them definitely is to find mentorship and to find, women that they look up to. Throughout my whole life, like, there's always been a woman in my corner pushing for me to do better, to give me advice. And, it's just been such a beautiful life that I've been having so far in my young adulthood. And just kind of looking back and realizing there's always been like a woman pushing for me. My mom, when I was younger, was the one who really pushed me into Bossy and always had like the she always looked out what was best for me. A lot of the opportunities that people had extended were, a lot of them were women, or, a lot of them believed in women or believed that, they should really be pushing them into these spaces. And so even if they're feeling like they're alone, there's always going to be someone there in their corner. And I think, Bossy just, has exemplified that, being there for the girls, and in a way that we'll support them throughout, this pipeline. And that's why I'm so excited when Dana was telling me like all the schools that I had gone through, from elementary school, middle school, into high school, and they're already trying to, get in there and be with the girls. And just having that support system is everything. And so even when times are rough, they can look back to someone cheering them on in the stands.
I want to thank you both so much for getting into this conversation with me.
Thank you so much, Mary.
Thank you.
And past episodes of In-Depth online at kcbsradio.com. You can also hear In-Depth episodes on the Odyssey app on your smartphone. Thanks for listening. For KCBS and In-Depth, I'm Mary Hughes.
listening to KCBS In Depth. Get every episode by subscribing on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, and other podcast platforms. Visit kcbsradio.com for more news and interviews. We are the Bay Area's news station, KCBS.